We will turn to 2 Timothy. Remember, we started this series some time back, and we've had breaks and various other things we've been considering, but we are back to the same aspects today. So, 2 Timothy and chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I will read from 2 Timothy chapter 3 to 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3. So I will begin reading our reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and we'll go all the way to chapter 4 and verse 3. And it says, "And all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn away, turn their ears away from the truth, and turn aside to fables. But for you, be watchful in all things, and your afflictions do the words of an evangelist fulfill your ministry." Just excuse me, let me just push these ones back. Maybe it is too near. Right. Let's just come before the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come into your presence now, and as we consider your word, we ask that you open our eyes and ears, that we might be able to behold the wondrous things that you have hidden in your law. So be gracious to us in this hour, and help me as we look through your word, that Lord, you might help us understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, we had said about this book when we began that the apostle was in a prison cell. The apostle was in a prison cell awaiting his execution. This was the last epistle he was writing, and that is before his death. And now he's writing to this young Timothy, and he's got concerns that he has about him. He wants to encourage him, but at the same time, he has this ministry that is entrusting to him. In chapter 1, we saw how he talks about the gospel and what it is. And he says in verse 8, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." So he says, before time began, Christ was appointed as it were to die, and God has in time called us and saved us to himself. And he says, "You do not be ashamed of this gospel. You join me as it were in suffering." And he says in verse 11, he was appointed to this gospel. He says, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the gospel. He says, I was appointed to herald this gospel, as if to propagate this gospel. And that's what he says. And he says, for this reason, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And he says, I'm persuaded who have believed it. Even as he faced death, as it were, he says he was persuaded that whom he has believed in, and he was persuaded that he's able to keep that which he has committed to him until that day. He says, look, my life is not a loss. Yes, I'm facing death on account of the gospel, but I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. So he turns to him in verse 13. He says, you hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ. Now he turns to Timothy. He says, you hold fast to these things. You hold fast to the things that you have heard me do. And he's saying that from a prison cell, knowing fully well that any time he would be executed. And he was executed. This was his last epistle, as we see. And then he tells him in chapter 2, that you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of God, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So he's interested in the propagation of the gospel. That the gospel will not die at the point at which it dies. He wants the gospel, as it were, to continue being propagated. And he looks at Timothy and says, look, I have deposited something in you. You as well, commit what you have heard to faithful men who will be able to, as it were, teach others also. This chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of God. He says, look, as you do this, you must ensure that you stand approved before God. You make sure that you present yourself to God as a workman who is approved, so that you have nothing else to be ashamed of. And you does not need to be ashamed, but rightly handling the word of God. And then he tells him, but shun profane and babblings, for they will increase more ungodliness. So he's encouraging him, as it were, to be steadfast and to stand, as it were, approved before God. And in chapter 3, we did see how he encourages him, as it were, to stand in terms of suffering, persecution that is going to come, that he must stand against that. And that leads us to what we now are going to consider in chapter 6. In chapter 3, verse 16, he brings him back now to the scriptures, to the sufficiency of scripture, to the inspiration of scripture, and he brings him to that. And he talks about scripture, then he tells him what scripture is able to do in his life. And he tells him, after he tells him what scripture is able to do in his life, he tells him what he should do with scripture. Preach the word. And that's what we are going to consider this evening. In a sense, he's been building up. All that he's been doing has been to build up to this climax, where he's able to tell him what scripture is and how he should actually proceed with his ministry. And in chapter 4, verse 5, he ends with that a statement, fulfill your ministry. So he, as it were, has come to the point where he's talking about scripture, what scripture should be in his life, and how he should actually use scripture in his ministry. And that's what we're going to consider today. And I've titled this discussion this morning, this afternoon, as the scriptures what they are and their place in the life of a Christian. So he says, he tells us in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, through thoroughly equipped for every good work. You remember when the apostle, as well, he was leaving the elders at Ephesus, he commends them to the grace of God and to the word of God that is able, as it were, to build them up. And in a sense, that's what the apostle is doing here. He is commending the scriptures. He wants them, as it were, as he goes, he says, you will not be with me in physically, but the scriptures are there. And even if I'm not there, you are not, if you like, left alone, because you have the scripture. So what is the nature of the scriptures? We find that we have the scriptures, the Bible, which is a library of 66 books, written over 1,500 years, and over 40 others that cover that. But behind them, behind the scriptures, is one mind, the mind of God, the Holy Spirit, who inspired them. Listen to what 2 Peter chapter 1 says. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 says these things. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. He says this. Let me begin from verse 16. He says, for we did not follow cleverly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in dark places until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Firstly, he goes to the Mount of Transfiguration. He says, look, it's not something clever that we have seen. When we are at the mountain and the word of God came, we heard that voice. And he says that voice confirmed. But he says in verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So he says, you might find situations that are written by men, but really, in terms of scripture, it was the mind of God moving those men to write those scriptures. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter says, and that's what exactly what Paul is saying to Timothy. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Scripture is God breathed. It's, if you like, God is moving these men, and they are saying things, under his instructions. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Acts chapter 1 and verse 16. And at this particular point, we find that they are trying to replace Judas. Judas has just committed suicide, and these have said, verse 16, men and women, this scripture had to be fulfilled with the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a student goes on. But it says, men and women, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke. By who? Through the mouth of David concerning Judas. So David spoke something. But what we have seen in 2 Peter is really not David, but the Holy Spirit that spoke through David. And that scripture had to be fulfilled at that particular time. So scripture is inspired, and God uses men as it were to bring scripture, but behind that is the mind of God. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. Acts chapter 3 and verse 18. We read these words. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has fulfilled. It says, yes, the prophets spoke, but he used the prophets as the mouthpiece. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has fulfilled. Yes, the prophets talked, Isaiah talked about the suffering Christ and so forth. But what David is, what the scriptures are saying is that it was God who was speaking, although he was using Isaiah, it was actually God who was, as it were, bringing those things. So, we find that scripture is God-breathed. Scripture, if you like, is the mind of God. God speaks through scripture. And that's what we see. So scripture is God's word. And we must, as it were, pay attention to that. And if it is God's word, then it is our spiritual food. And that we see in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you must grow. And it is our guidebook. Again, we see this in Psalms 119, verse 105. It is the scriptures are able, as it were, to guide us. They are our weapons against the devil. And when the devil comes, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ used scripture, as it were, to defeat the devil. And it contains God's promises. It gives us stability, as it were. So that's what we see about scripture. And that's what he wants to impress upon Timothy. He says, look, have a high regard of scripture. Scripture is inspired and it must reign supreme. And when you come to scripture, you must have that mind that God is the one who has uttered the scriptures and God is the one who has authority, and you must be subject to scripture. And therefore, we see the psalmist says these things in Psalm 119, verse 18. 119, verse 18 says the following. He says, open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from your law. So as he comes to the west, he says that unless the Lord who has uttered this opens my eyes, I might not see the glorious things, the wondrous things that are hidden in his word. So as we come to scripture, we must come prayerfully, seeking that him who has actually uttered his word might actually open it up for us. And that's what we see. Open my eyes that I might see wondrous things that are hidden in the law. There's a sense in which you can read the scriptures like a novel and it never impacts on you. There's a sense in which sometimes you read the scriptures and your eyes are enlightened. You see a jewel there and the Lord speaks to us. And that's what we ought to do, to seek God, that he might be able, as it were, to speak to us in scriptures, that we might come to scripture expectantly, come to scripture recognizing that it's God's word, and seeking that God would be able to minister to us. And we ought to come to scripture with a view of obeying, hearing, but not only hearing God's word, but with a view of obeying. Listen to what Deuteronomy says. Deuteronomy and chapter 30. Just listen to that. If you can, you can turn to it, but just listen to what the words is said. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 14. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Yet, you can understand the word, you can be able to know the word, but the final effect of this word is that you might do it, that you might be able to perform it. Again, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the ways of the Lord. The ultimate aspect of God speaking to us is that we might, one, understand him, but not only understand, but we might actually do what he says. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? So God's word is there, and it is there to instruct us, it is there to be able to teach us, so that when having understood the word of God, we are able, as it were, to obey it. So back to our text, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for the teaching. It's profitable for reproof, for correction. If we have gone astray and we come to the word of God expectantly, expecting God to speak to us, and if God speaks to us, points something out in something wrong in our lives, we ought, as it were, conform to God's word and be corrected for instruction in righteousness. So, what the apostle is saying to Timothy, here are the scriptures. They are able to mold you. They are able to correct you. They are able, as it were, to reprove you. They are able to teach you the doctrine. Yes, I'm going, but you have the scriptures that will be able, as it were, to mold you, to teach you. You do not need me anymore, because the scriptures are sufficient for life and godliness. And verse 17, that the man of God may be complete. That's what Timothy was. He was, if you like, a pastor. He says, for you to be complete and to do your work, the scriptures are sufficient to be able to teach you, to give you the doctrine, to correct your life, and to be able to train you in righteousness. And you'll be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So he's, in a sense, encouraging Timothy to look into the scriptures. He is, in a sense, encouraging Timothy to be molded by the scriptures. He is encouraging Timothy to be absorbed in the scriptures and to obey the scriptures and to, as it were, soak in the scriptures and to know the scriptures. He says, when you do that and you have regard for the scriptures and you are able to obey the scriptures, the Lord will minister to you, the Lord will build you up, the Lord will give you the doctrines that you need, and in that sense, you will profit from the scriptures. You'll profit from the effect of the scriptures, and only when we obey the scriptures. So that's the first thing that I want us to say, is that the scriptures They are for us as individuals. They are not for the other person. They are for us. They are for me. And they must first deal with me for me to be able to be corrected, to be able to know the doctrine, to be able to be, as it were, equipped for every good work. So the scriptures first are for us as individuals. We should not look at the scriptures as for the other person. They are firstly for us. And we must ask the question, and we must seek the question, open my eyes, that I might be able to see your wonderful things in your law. So they are for the equipment of the saints, first for molding the saints, but also to equip the saints, so that they have the equipment to be able to do the work. Before you do the work, you need, as it were, to be absorbed in the scriptures. That's what that's the essence of what he's saying. He says that the man of God, verse 17, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen to what 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says this: "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So firstly, the scriptures are for us. We must first have the scriptures inward. We must, as we come to the scriptures, it's not that I might get the scriptures so that I can disseminate them to somebody else. First, the scriptures must work in us. They must mold us. They must be able, as it were, to correct us. And so in that way we become equipped. In that way we are thoroughly equipped. So after he has said that, in chapter 4, he comes. He says, now that you have understood that the scriptures are for you to be molded, I have a charge for you. Chapter 4, verse 1. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who judge the living and the dead in his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." The preaching of the word comes only when he has seen the sufficiency, the inspiration of the scriptures, only when the scriptures have an effect on him. So now that you have seen this, I want you to be outward looking. Preach the word. If the scripture is so inspired, then it must find its expression in your ministry. That's what he's saying. Preach the word. If you believe it is what it claims to be, why are you cringing it? If you believe what it is, and it has had an effect on you, and you have seen what it is, why are you confining it? He says, what you have discovered of the scripture, disseminate, herald, and speak. Because he's sure that when Timothy, as it were, embraces the scriptures and have that intimacy, he's going to discover a lot more things. And having done that, he tells him, you disseminate, you, if you like, broadcast what you have known, broadcast the things that you have learned from God. You stand up and broadcast those things. So he says, preach the word. If you believe it is what it claims to be, why do you cage the scriptures? Why are you ashamed of the scriptures? Why are you shy about the scriptures? Let it out of the cage. It's almost like you're keeping a lion caged in. You've known its viciousness. You know how dangerous it is. And you see that probably it should have an effect somewhere else. And you're keeping it caged. He says, open it up. Let it go out. And that's what the scriptures are. If the scriptures are broadcast, then they'll do their own work in terms of serving the people, in terms of convincing and whatever. And that's what he is saying. And that's what I want now to us to focus on, about the place of the scriptures in an individual's life and ministry. There's a charge that has been given and we will have an opportunity to look at that, and should be in and out of season, he says, and the manner we should do it, he says, we should convince, rebuke, and exhort. And how? He says we should do it long-suffering and teaching. And why the agency? He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So there's a sense in which he says, look, this is important. And we're going to look at that. So these verses, if you like, as I said, are the peak and the pinnacle. The climax of where he was going, the summit, if you like, of Paul's second letter to Timothy. He was all along climbing to this particular point where he's able to charge this young man as he is going away. This is precisely the point that Paul has been building up from chapter 1, verse 1. And we have seen the various things that he is saying. And after establishing, if you like, the sufficiency and the supremacy of the scriptures, he goes on to give him this charge. And it is a simple charge, but it's given comprehensively. And I just want us to end by looking at that charge. Firstly, he says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And what's the charge? The charge is basically preach the word. Now, I just want you to see the kind of weight he is giving. Before, he could just have said, okay, I have given you the scripture is sufficient, so you preach it. But no, the apostle steps back. And he steps back and he says things to give weight to what he's going to say. And you see, the scene that he brings out is in a courtroom. I do some arbitration, and when I have a witness, he has to take a Bible. And he has to say, what I'm going to say is nothing but the truth, and the truth, nothing but the truth. Just like they do in court. I also preside over some things that I do like that. But let's borrow the court situation. A witness in the witness box. And he has, as it were, to say certain things. And that's what we see here, where Paul takes a stand in order to deliver a final address and a final charge to this young man. And we find, true to the biblical mandate, you know, the Bible says that truth must be affirmed by one or two people. And here, who is he calling? He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost saying, look, I'm calling these to be able to see the gravity of the charge I'm bringing you. And what did he say? I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And say, who will judge the living and the dead? Why is he doing that? I'm suggesting to you that he's giving the weight of the charge. He's giving weight to this charge, that what he's going to say is affirmed by God, is affirmed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to judge the living and the dead. And he has a responsibility to actually carry out this task that he's saying. And he says, preach the word. So I'm suggesting to us that he is giving weight to that. And as he's disappearing and he knows he probably would not preach anymore, this young man has the responsibility of preaching. And he knows that once the word is preached, men are going to be saved. And he wants him to take that mantle. Having understood the supremacy of scripture and what scripture is going to do, he says, disseminate scripture and ensure that the task doesn't suffer as a result of other things, it's a charge that he gives. And I'm saying to us that the reason why he's giving a prelude to that is that he wants to give the weight of this charge, that it's a weighty charge, and Timothy must hear it. And that's the first thing that he says of that. And the second thing that I want just to say about the charge is that it's a simple charge. It's not a complicated charge. Preach the word. That's what he's saying. He's not saying manipulate the word and do certain things. He says, no. You know what scripture is. You know the sufficiency of scripture. Disseminate it. Now, as we do that, we find that others might respond to it, others might not respond to it, and we might have the temptation of trying to get results. He says, no. He doesn't put about results here. He doesn't talk about, if anything, he warns about people not listening to him, because he hints that they will turn away, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to evils. That he gives them, if you like, a hint that there might be a rejection there. But Timothy is charged to take hold of this word and to ensure that he preaches the word. So I'm saying that it's a simplistic charge that he should preach the word. And this is the act of heralding, the act of simply spreading the word and actually saying, this is what saves you. Now, whether people respond to it or not is a different thing. That's not your domain. And he's just been told to preach the word. Timothy is charged to herald, to proclaim, and to announce the word to the world. That is what he's being told to do. And that's what we see there. So, this is an imperative. It's given very pointedly, preach the word. The other thing that I want us to see is that it's seasonless, and that's what we see in 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. You know, when it's convenient, it's not convenient. And I think to our shame, during COVID, it was not convenient. And we did what? We also went underground, although we had the facilities and things like that. But this means that we need to be ready, willing and able to preach the word. That's what he's saying here to Timothy. He says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season. He says, you will be able, but you need to be willing and ready to preach. It might be convenient, it might not be convenient, but all the same, you need to preach. There are only 2 seasons, in and out, and there could be no other seasons other than those. So he says you need to be ready at all times, and that's what he tells him. You need to preach regardless if the word is convenient or it's not convenient. You need to preach the word. And whether it's received, well received, or not well received, you need to preach the word. So that is what he's bringing to him. And he's saying you need to preach the word, if you like, persistently again. He says there, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke with all long suffering and teaching. He says you need to do it consistently. Long suffering as a tendency of endurance. He says you need to be active. You don't need as it were to have a break and relax. It's something that you ought always to do. And that's what he's giving him this charge. And he wants him to understand this. And he tries to, if you like, to help him understand when to preach them these words. And he gives him 3 explanations about how he should preach. He says in chapter 2, he says, convincing means that we might have to sit down with somebody and actually go through the facts and bring them to the point where they are convinced that this is the truth, and it might involve that. And reprove is probably correcting somebody, and that's what the scriptures do, and as we have already seen. So it might bring correction to somebody. And all this, he says, that's what you need to do. And exhort might mean encouraging somebody. And that, all these things are what is involved. But basically the charge is that you should preach the gospel. You should preach the word. And he backs it up with the courtroom, if you like, scenario, by actually calling out like witnesses, and he says he should do that. And that is the situation that we see. And the reason he tells him that is verse 4, he says, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires become, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside. So that is what we see of this young man. The charge, the apostle that he brings to him, what the scriptures are and what they should do to him. Having seen the scriptures, he wants him, as it were, to go out and use the scriptures in ministry. And when he's doing that, he backs it up with this charge to give it gravity, so that the Timothy can have the weight of what is on his shoulder. And we need to stand back ourselves and ask, how does this apply to us? Firstly, we know the scriptures. We've been well schooled in the scriptures. And I think the things that I've been saying about the scriptures are obvious to many of us. They're simply a reminder to us what the scriptures are. But we also see that the preaching of the word was given to Timothy. And because of the context in which he was in, he was pastor. But can we say that it's only confined to him? I say no, because we all have that responsibility of reaching out. We all have a world that is dying out, and we ought, as it were, to go out and minister the word. And we are in the season of Easter, where we are thinking about the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. Basically, that's the core of our salvation. And as Dr. Peary was preaching this morning, where he was saying that the scriptures emphasize a lot about the death, burial, and resurrection, and doesn't talk about the birth of the Lord, what came to my mind, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in the Lord's Supper, he actually emphasized that we should remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It should always be something, not just at Easter, but at all times. Why? Because that's where our salvation was procured. And that's what we need, as it were, to bring out. And when he had risen, after he had risen, he gave a command. And that we find in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Let's just turn to there, and we'll try and close with that. Matthew chapter 28, verse 17. It says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. That is after he had risen. But Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. These, if you like, were the last words given to the apostles. In the same way that Paul is giving to Timothy his last words about preaching, we find almost he mirrors what the Lord is saying here. And he says, go therefore and make disciples. But he precedes that with saying that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. The apostle Paul begins that with a charge to Timothy before he talks about preaching. And he starts off with calling a courtroom situation in order for him to hear the gravity of the charges given. Here the Lord begins with himself saying, look, you might have doubted, I have conquered. All authority is with me. Now, in that authority, I am giving you a command to go and make disciples of all nations. And in the same way that Timothy would have heard those words and the charge, is the same way we must hear the Lord talking to us about going out. And we should, because he begins off by saying, all authority. Again, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. And then he goes and says, teaching them. So we have the mandate to go out and witness and bring the others. That's the reason he came to die on the cross, so that he can be able to bring everybody in. He has brought us. And we have to obey him. And I was saying to us that we have chilled away as a church from this. It's a ministry that has suffered. And we need to resuscitate this ministry. We need to go out and witness in our workplaces, the people we meet. We need to begin that old time religion where you whisper the Lord Jesus Christ, where you witness about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to recover that in our lives, to be able to speak about the Lord. And as a church, we have started this program where every fortnight we are going out. We want to cover this whole area in obedience to what the Lord is. And we need to do that. May God help us to see the importance of what it is to go out and preach the word that we have seen of Timothy, but also for us to be able to witness and bring souls to him. May God help us in this aspect, that not only may we be able to see the importance of that, that he might give us grace so that we might be able to go out and actually witness for him. Amen.